our Sunday School Hour. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 162, To God Be Glory. This morning. Brother Tracy, would you pray for us, please? And thank you. May be seated. Unless you celebrate a birthday and anniversary, I'd like to recognize you. All right, I have an anniversary over here. Brother Tracy, how long has it been? 15 years. Let's sing happy anniversary first, then we'll sing happy birthday. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and have each one of you with us. Continue to pray for our college students, if you would. Brother Jared's going to leave here this afternoon and head back to school. And Alyssa's already gone, and so it's good to have them headed off to Bible college. Please be praying for them as the school year starts. And then we have the Hendricks with us. I'll be introducing them in just a few moments. And we have Brother Hardy coming September 3rd. John Roy is going to be here September 17th. And so remember to keep those days in your calendar and be here for that. Outreach will be September 2nd, starting at 9 o'clock. Encourage you to come out and go with us as we hand out flyers and make contacts. Then team cleaning will be following outreach on the 2nd. And so remember to bring money for lunch, and they should be back at the church by 12:30. Youth rally, September the 8th. We host here at the church, 7 o'clock. The cost is $5 a teen. Looking forward to that. Brother Lalo's put a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And so if you can help sign up for the different things you can help with, be a blessing. Men's recharge, September 22nd through 23rd. Brother Sam will be preaching, Brother King and Brother Chad Berry. And we're looking forward to that. Cost is $60, plus you get a shirt. And so sign-up sheet's back there, and deadline September the 6th. Revival, we'll have Brother Harold Wells with us September 24th through 27th. And so looking forward to having a revival. It's going to be a busy, busy, busy September. Just it's the way the calendar worked. And so we're looking forward to that. And then continue to pray for the repair process here on our building. We're looking forward to getting it up and going here in the next several weeks. And so hopefully by the time that it snows a foot, we'll have it all done. Okay? Right now, that's not on the horizon, is it? 100 degrees. Yuck. That's just gross. It'd be nice to have a couple of feet of snow, matter of fact. But anyhow, from our prayer needs, I ask that you remember to pray for all those that are listed there. And if you would, in particularly, remember to pray for Brother Lalo and his wife and his mother-in-law, Miss Robin. She is probably just the next couple of days will be in heaven. And so if you would, just pray for them. Pray for God's peace upon them as they walk through this time, and ask the Lord just give them his grace upon them. And the others here, we want to continue to lift them up in prayer by all means, and ask God to intercede on their behalf. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. I want to ask Brother Jared to come up. Brother Jared Foster was our summer intern. He finished his first year down at Heartland, and I really enjoyed having him around this year and getting to boss him around. And he was just so willing to do whatever, and had a can-do attitude, not a, you know, whiny little wimpy attitude. He's really growing into a great young man, and so it was an honor to have him here and to work together. And he's going to leave after services today, drive to Oklahoma City, and start his sophomore year. And so if you would be praying for him as he heads off to Bible College, pray for Traveling Mercies down, and then for the intelligence to continue to, you know, get by and all those good things. And I just think that we had a great summer together. Our agreement with him was we pay his first semester, and then, of course, he gets his sponsor check from the church. And so, Jared, give a testimony.
Some things. Okay. Well, it was a blessing to be able to intern here. I learned so much here, not even just probably more than I could have learned in the class, just getting hands-on experience, preaching, all these things. I'm super grateful for you guys' willingness to let me come and mess up and just make you guys laugh, hopefully give you some truth. But it was just a blessing, and I learned so much. Pastor really just poured into me, and even Lalo taught me things, something, mainly things not to do, but it was great. And I just loved it so much, and I appreciate you just helping me out in college and your prayers. It means more to me than anything, and I'm just excited to see what God has for me next year and just get ready to learn and do what God has for me. Okay, so.
Sing hymn number 131, Christ is all I need.
our honor and privilege to have the Hendricks with us. They are missionaries headed to England, and I'm going to have Brother Hendricks come. He's going to take the Sunday school time, introduce your wife, and then show your presentation and however God else leads.
Thank you for having us. It's an honor to be here. It's been ready. We've been pastor. In our area for a while. And so if you're ever in Texas and you need to buy something, go to Lubbock because there's more cheap there than Dallas Cowboys stuff there, which is offensive to me, but it's okay. So we'll move on. My name is Colin. This is my wife, Callie. We got married after college, and the little ones somewhere on property somewhere. Hadley is 4, and then we have a son. His name is Bo. 2. So, well, we are thankful to be here. We've been on deputation for just over a year now. We're at about 64% of our support needed, which is awesome. We're super excited about that. And God has called us to go to England, but we feel the leading of God to specifically go to London. London is a very, very, very big city. It has 9.5 million people in London proper, if we can say it that way. And you can look up a stat that says London's the smallest city. There's a 1 square mile borough in the middle that's called London, but the whole metro of London, 9.5 million, and then when you get into the metro, into Reading and other places, you can find anywhere from 12 to 15 million people in that area, which is crazy because that is actually 25% of the population of the entire country of England. England has 60 million people in it, and if I can say it this way, they need to know who the Lord is, and there's not a lot of people preaching the word there anymore. So when we look at the history of England and look at the history of the United Kingdom even altogether, it's a pretty incredible story because it's a tiny little island that spread the gospel and modern technology across the world. Across the world. When you read history, Christian history, and I understand the preachers that were going everywhere, maybe we didn't completely agree with them totally, but they were out there, they were preaching the gospel, they were coming to America, they were going to places that people had never gone before. And so when you look at their history now and see how far gone they've gone from preaching the word of God, it's sobering for sure. We're walking around the streets of London on our survey trip, and it's incredible to walk through London because it oozes. It doesn't, not only world history, and I understand that the sun didn't set on the British Empire at one point. They ruled the seas. They had everything that they needed, and they were preaching the gospel all across the world. But they were sending the gospel everywhere. But now we're sending people back to the gospel to preach. And we're excited about it, if I can be honest with you. I'd love to share a little bit of a testimony. After our video, we'll take some questions. But I was the youth and music director at our church. Loved it. Loved every second of it. Maybe not every second of it, but there were some staff meetings I didn't enjoy, but that was my own fault, if you know what I mean. But we loved it. The Lord was blessing those ministries in spite of us. And I say that because I took over the choir and the youth department when I was 22. And there were people playing the instruments that had been playing church instruments longer than I'd been alive. So they were very, very gracious, helped me grow. And the Lord just used our time there, not only to grow those ministries that we were a part of, but also to grow us into who we are now. We're thankful for that. Thankful for Pastor Preston. He didn't fire us. I think he didn't fire us mainly because of my wife and my kids, but as a joke. But no, the Lord just used our time there to grow us. And if I would be honest with you, missions was never on our radar. We were involved, prayed, and we did all those things, but it was never like, you know what, we're going to be missionaries. Never really had that. We weren't unwilling, but we just didn't think it was for what God had for us. We thought we were going to be a Bethany Baptist Church the rest of our lives. And the Lord started to move in our hearts, and it was this is a long story made really short, but he started to just kind of unsettle, uproot us, if I can say, in Lubbock. It wasn't like we were ready to go, but it just felt the Lord was doing something. And we started to pray and ask the Lord just to make it clear if he wanted us to be on the mission field. And, I'm a pretty transparent person. You're going to learn. And it may be to a fault, but we were watching a Netflix show, The Great British Baking Show. Anybody ever seen it? Yeah. And so we were watching that, and I turned to my wife, and I was like, babe, these people have no real meaning behind their life as to why they live. We need to pray for them. And then we started talking. I was like, who do we know going to England? Who do we know? And so from that, I set a reminder on my phone for when I drove home from work every day. I'd pray all the way home for Linda, for someone to go. Not for me to go. Someone. And so I started to pray that the Lord would send someone to go, and that people would start to flood the country to tell them the gospel. And prayed, and that was 2019 is when we really started that. 2020 happened, kind of put everything on pause, and used 2020 just to prepare if the Lord was going to move us to do something. Because we weren't ignorant to the fact that when you pray for a country, sometimes God calls you to be. And so we were like, well, God's going to do, we need to be ready as we can be. And so we started to do things, and then I went to youth conference 2021, so that was a whole year in sentences. Isn't that awesome? And so 2021, I went to a youth conference. David Hetzer was camp. We gone the whole summer, and I don't remember exactly what his message was. I remember him carrying around the Christian flag that was on the platform, and he was waving it around like a battle cry. I was excited, you know. And so, but the Lord used that message, Brother Hetzer's testimony, somewhere preaching, pastor uprooting. And he had been in our mission conference in February of that year. Brother Joel Travis had been there as well. And so those two men preached. The Lord really stirred within us. That summer went along. Bo was born July 27th. I went to youth conference 4 days later. 10 days later, I told my wife after our summer. Well, he was ready. She knew. She knew before I did. But God used preaching of his long and continually remind us. And I'll say this as well. During that time, I poured over research of missionaries that were there. I read prayer letters of these missionaries that had been there, that y'all support for the group. Letters. And I did so much research just trying to figure out who was there, what was going on, and all of that. And I came to the conclusion of this. Not enough gospel preaching. God made it clear that he called us to go. We were on our survey trip. It rained like cats. Which, I say that because we're from West Texas. Our rain comes in 15 minutes. But we asked the Lord when we went on our survey trip for a real life experience. He gave us one. Poured rain. Our first 2 days in London were soaked to the bone. But we loved it. I don't know. We loved it. And so went on our survey trip, and we had our visit with Bo because we all got COVID. Stayed with a missionary family we didn't know for a week while we were sick. That's fun. Then I just so many different things. Got to London. All the train travel got canceled because they went on strike. And so all 3.5 million people came from underground to above ground, and it was crazy. But the Lord used that time just to hit our hearts with the country, the city, and the people. Give us a deep burden for them. Excited about it. Excited about being here today. I hope that I get a little bit more of my heart through. Have opportunity to share with you. So I want to show you our video. A couple things about it. Three things I want everyone to notice in our video is this. Not a people that you'll see. Billions of people. How many people walking around? And then number two, you'll see the largest temple outside of India, located in London. You'll see that we took that video with our iPhone. And then there's one other one in St. Paul's Cathedral. It has the classic chessboard, black and white floor. There's a service going on, and we were serving the service because we were there touring. Yeah, cathedral is a big tour area because it's old. Taking a video of the service, but I took the video because when the service started, we sat down and I started to look around, and there during the service was still more people touring the cathedral than there were at least respectful. So it'd be like us having service and have all these doors taking pictures. It was crazy. And so you'll see that. That's near the end of our video. But in that same shot, you won't see just the people and on his knees. Reciting prayers that he's likely recited his entire life. Thinking that his know by the authority. So those are the people that we'll be ministering to. We're excited that the Lord called us to go and know that we're searching. And so I hope the video is a blessing to you. After this, during the video, maybe during this time, if you've got a question, ask it, or I'll stand like 30. So I hope the video is a blessing to you, and I'll be up right after.
England, a country rich in world and religious history, known for the royal family, renowned authors such as Charles Dickens, William Shakespeare, red buses, black cabs, tea, and a variety of unique accents. This small island country is only 300 miles across at its largest point, and yet the impact that it has had upon the modern world is remarkable. During the 18th century, a spark of the gospel ignited, resulting in revivals that cut across denominational lines and straight to the souls of men, touching every class of society and producing many great preachers and missionaries. For years, God used England as the epicenter of the gospel to be spread across the globe. However, England has since fallen from its pinnacle of gospel influence. The English people have grown cold to the gospel and their need for the Savior. With modern conveniences and technology, God and His Word have become a relic of the past in the lives of the English. This mindset is especially felt in the capital city, London. London is home to nearly 9.5 million people and is bustling with life, creativity, and energy. It is a place that takes enormous pride in its diverse and cosmopolitan culture. In an address to the city, Mayor Sadiq Khan said, "London is the world in one city, with more than 300 languages spoken on our streets. The fact that we are home to people of every color, class, culture, and creed is precisely what makes London so special. Considering the vast number of immigrants from all around the world who have made the Big Smoke their home, the religious demographic of London is extremely vast. Almost half of the city claim Christianity as their religion, but merely in word and not in practice. The majority of those who do attend Christian churches believe in a works-based salvation and not a personal relationship with God. Many also claim to be agnostic or atheist, while Muslim and Hindu influences are making headway throughout the city. Although many Londoners claim some form of religion, the city is predominantly in a post-church era in practice. We are the Hendricks family, and God has called us to plant churches in this spiritually desolate city. Will you prayerfully consider partnering with us as we endeavor to take the gospel back to England?"
Okay, did any questions come spurred? I got told my mic wasn't on, so now is it on? Did I do it? All right, sweet. Any questions at all? I knew it. That's why I said what I said. Yes, Brother Chris. So we're going to have to work with a missionary that's there already. His name's Kent Gosmeyer. If you've read the Grits letters and maybe kept up a little bit, they had a sponsorship that allowed missionaries to come in. And at during their entire time of having that sponsorship, you were able to work within the UK under their sponsorship. Immigration laws have just been updated, and so now whoever your sponsor is, you have to work in the general vicinity with them until you're a permanent resident. And so we're going to work with Brother Kent Gosmeyer. He's in Cornwall, which it's not a bad trade. It's a beautiful, amazing place. If you look at a map, or maybe our map on our table, if you're looking at it like this, the southwest part of England, the very tip of the tail is where Cornwall is. It's not London. It still has tons of people there that, and not very many gospel preaching churches. And so that's who we'll start with, Brother Kent Gosmeyer. He's been there for over 20 years, which is a huge draw because he has the experience. He knows the English culture. He knows how to drive on the opposite side of the road, things like that. So, yeah, so that's who we'll start with, and that's where we'll start. Once we're permanent residents, we'll move into London and begin a new work. Now, while in Cornwall, that doesn't say we're not going to start a new work in Cornwall, but this is all very, very recent changes. Like, all got settled 3 weeks ago, so everything changed very, very, very recent. So, yeah. Any others? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we'll find our own house. He doesn't want our children in his house. So, yeah, we'll when we move in, kind of what people are doing, they get an Airbnb for about a month, which equals about 1 month rent, and maybe they have to live in it for two. But then you find a home that you can rent, and then we'll work our way, God willing, to be able to buy a home at one point in the UK. But so he doesn't want us to live with him. Brother Metzinger. It's crazy expensive, yeah. And I did my research on London, not knowing that we were going to live in Cornwall for so long. But it is, London, I can tell you this, is the fourth most expensive city to live in the world. So a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment. And when I say that, don't think American-sized. Think probably like half of an American size, and it's about $2,500 a month. Now that's just rent. That doesn't include taxes. That doesn't include all the other things that go along with that. We stayed in a one-bedroom apartment because I wanted to experience it. And so, just to give you a little bit of maybe just insight to how small it is, the bedroom between the wall and the bed on every side was about this far, because it was so small. They also had the bathroom attached to that bedroom. The sink was outside of the bathroom because it was so small, and it was the size of my iPad, the sink. And so, if you can just imagine that. And then the bathroom, because the room was so small, the door didn't swing. So they had it wasn't a pocket door, because that would make a lot of sense, but it was like one of those, it's like a pantry door. Yeah, it was like, what people are doing now is barn doors, but one of those that has the slats that you can see into the bathroom. So, and it was, you know, you could sit on the toilet and clean your feet at the same time. That's how small. Yeah, and then the other room that was apart was the living room, the office, the dining room, the kitchen, whatever else you wanted it to be. But the kitchen didn't have an American-sized fridge. They had a mini fridge under the counter. It didn't have an oven. It didn't have actually even a stovetop. You had to use the ones that you can move around. So very, 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 very small. Yeah, so that's cost of living in that way. I feel like groceries, personally, were about comparable prices when we went and looked at it. But that was the only thing. Gasoline per gallon while we were there was probably $10 to $12 a gallon. It looks really nice because they sell it by the liter. And so it says, you know, £1.89 per liter. But then you times that by 3.3, and then you do the exchange rate, and it's just, yeah. And, you know, I've talked to people, they were like, oh, I remember when it was $15 a gallon, and all kinds of stuff. So it's a super expensive place to live, but, yeah, super expensive, tons of taxes that don't make sense because we're Americans, you know. So, yeah. Any other questions? I saw one in the back. Nobody? Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. And so what was your question? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. We're honestly, you know, my pastor, we would go door hanging for big events at Bethany, and we would just do it as a staff because we always had a goal of a certain amount. And I'd be like, hey, so what street am I supposed to go to next? And by the third or fourth time I asked him that, it's like he grabbed me by the face and he said, Colin, there's no wrong house. Just go put them on the houses. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And so I kind of taken that mentality into England, and I'm going to say this. We're going to take whoever the Lord, you know, lets us draw in. And so we're going to go. We have a heart for Muslims. We really do. It's something that the Lord's just kind of worked in me. And, yeah, He's given us a heart for that. He's also given us a heart for this. We want to plant churches in London, and we want to see those be that the Lord's. And it's ambitious, but we want to lead people to the Lord because London has every corner of the globe represented. And we want to lead people to the Lord that are from places American faces can't get. And so we want to lead them to the Lord, get them discipled, see them called, and see them called back to their people, and they can just go back and they can do it. That's a desire we have. It's a super exciting endeavor in our minds. We're asking the Lord to do it for sure. But that's something that we want to see happen for sure. So we're gonna cast the net, and whatever fish comes in for sure. Yes, sir. Any others? Maybe one or two more? The food is bland. You're going to ask that. Anybody? Okay. John chapter 1 for Sunday school. John chapter number 1. I really do appreciate the opportunity. Your pastor had me sign underneath the pulpit, and he was telling me names that were on there, and I wish he wouldn't have, because y'all are used to good preaching. And then I saw all the people coming through, Brother John Roy, and then, you know, Brother Sam's preaching, Brother Alfred King. Now, Chad Berry, I mean, at the men's recharge, just kidding. He's one of my best friends, and so I have to give him a hard time. He'll never see this, and if he does, it'll be okay. So, but y'all have some great preachers come through, and I hope to be a blessing. I'll tell you this, if I can give you a little maybe pregame show before. This one is one that the Lord used when I was preaching through the book of John with the youth department. The one coming this morning for the main service, I wouldn't preach the two messages that I'm going to preach today usually in the order I'm going to preach them. Because usually I like to preach an encouraging, also challenging message to start off, so you're not mad at me for the next one. But I'm going to just give you a heads up. The first one, at least to me, is super convicting. And so this one is one that the Lord used, and it's just a simple thought. The main service, I'm sorry, prior hand. Hopefully we'll see you again this afternoon, okay? So John chapter 1, verse number 35. And I'm just going to read a handful of verses from 35 to the end of the chapter. And then we'll get into the thought. So look at verse number 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, this is John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Look at verse number 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this and ask the Lord for help this morning. Father, we need your help. Lord, we need to hear from you. God, we need you to speak to us and show us where we need to take the next step in our walk with you. And God, I need your help. Lord, I have no ability within myself, but Lord, I pray you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was in the youth department, youth camp was one of my favorite weeks of the year, if not my favorite week. And one of the core memories I have of youth camp is our pastor's son and one of his really good friends. We were at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. And they always hated the rule that said, don't bring food into the dorms. That was their least favorite rule because they wanted to snack at all times of the day and night. If you can imagine 6th, 7th grade boys eating constantly, maybe you can relate somewhere around there, right? And so they hated that rule, so they always tried to sneak whatever kind of food into the dorms. And the rule was there because of bears. They didn't want bears to, I guess, get in the dorms. I mean, I never saw one. I wanted to. Can I be honest with you? I wanted to see a bear, but we never did. And so the rule was for bears. And I walk up toward the dorm, which I don't think it was the Brown Castle, because our boys always called the big dorm the Brown Castle. For nice on the inside. And we always got, I think it was called Clyde Spain or something like that. And it was not the one they wanted. And so we would go in, and I was walking towards the dorm, kind of drop down into a valley that was there, and then walking back up the hill. And I see Keith, our pastor's son, who's 20 now. So he's pretty much a young adult. I wouldn't say a grown man, but you know. So Keith's in the woods, just like 7 or 8 steps into the woods with his buddy. And they're looking down. And I'm walking up, I'm like, what are these two jokers doing? That's what my mind said, right? Because they're goobers. I mean, they're goobers. And so I'm looking at them, and they're just staring at the ground. And they're like, they're kind of excited about whatever's going on. And I'm like, maybe they caught an animal. I don't know what's going on. So I walk up, I'm like, hey guys, what's going on? They're like, Brother Cole, you guys need to see this. So they run over, and I walk over, and they point to the ground. And there's a piece of Nutter Butter cookie wrapper on the ground. I'm like, guys, it's a piece of trash. They're like, no, you don't understand. Last night, right before bed, we crushed up these cookies, opened it, and threw it in the woods to see if we could attract an animal. And so I was like, oh. And so I had a decision I had to make right then and there. Was I going to be like, okay, this is ridiculous, just pick up your trash and let's go. Or I could have some fun with it. And I could act like I was going to chew them out. So that's what I did. So I laid into them for probably a good 3 or 4 minutes. And at Silver State, you can give campers that are being bad what they call KP, kitchen patrol. And so I tell them, you're going to have kitchen patrol today, tomorrow, the next day. You're going to be taking out the trash. You're going to clean the bathrooms. And I mean, I'm going on and on and on. And their faces went from just so excited to like, our week of camp just got ruined for Nutter Butters, you know. And so their face drops. They're terrified of all the KP that they're going to have to take care of. And I'm standing there, and I see it in their face. They are just so distraught about what's about to happen. And I say, I'm just kidding, guys. Let's go. And they're like, oh, we hate you, you know. And so they were so excited, right? They were so excited about just this piece of trash that some animal came and ate all the cookies out of. They were pumped. I mean, I'm telling you, these little 2 sixth graders that didn't know how to run fell down that hill and back up it to show me what wasn't in that piece of trash. But aren't we all the same way? When we're excited about it, don't we want to tell somebody the story? I love preaching because I get to tell stories. You'll see today, I tell a lot of stories while I'm preaching because it helps us be able to relate to something. And that's kind of the idea that I want to get across today is this, that we all love to tell a story. After a while, the bad wears off, right? And we can tell a bad story. My mom and dad just traveled to Lubbock, and they had a really bad story because my dad is silly sometimes. And so pretty much he rammed his car into a highway sign, slammed his foot in the door. It was awesome. It's a great story. But it hasn't had the cool down time enough to be able to tell this story. You know what I mean? Here in John chapter 1... I'm not going to tell it, sorry. So here in John chapter 1, the cool down time hasn't happened, I'm sorry. So we're going to move on. So John chapter 1, right? This is early on in Jesus' public ministry, and he's actually calling his disciples. And John the Baptist is standing there with 2 of his disciples, and he says, behold, hey, look over there, the Lamb of God. And he points toward Jesus. And can you imagine this scene? John the Baptist, and he's there with 2 of his disciples, and they look and they see Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. They've heard the preaching of John the Baptist, so they know the Lamb of God. That means the Messiah. Can you imagine them standing there? They hear John preach this, and they look at each other. They look back at Jesus, and they start to go towards him. Now, that's a hard decision, isn't it? John the Baptist, I mean, camel's fur, eating bugs. I mean, this guy's preaching the word and calling the Pharisees out. He's a man's man. He's a preacher. But his job was to point people to the Lord. And so he's saying, hey, look, there's the Messiah. There he is, right there. And so they start to follow, and then we get some insight to who they are. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse number 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master. Well, where dwellest thou? Where are you staying? Verse 39, Jesus, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth, so Andrew went and found his brother Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now names, and when Jesus did this, we understand you. This is a very common passage of Scripture. I know you've heard it preached. Is that when Jesus told Peter this, it wasn't that Peter was a solid stone at this point. When you read the rest of the Gospels, we know Peter, he's up and down. At one point, you know, Jesus tells him, get thee behind me, Satan, because he's chewing him out about talking about being crucified. And so he says, get thee behind me. But then 5 verses later, they're on the Mount Transfiguration. They're super excited about all that's going on. Peter falls on his face and he's worshiping. And then he tells Jesus, we should build 3 tabernacles. And then the voice from heaven comes, right? Peter's up and down. He's walking on water. He's sinking in the water. And so would you say he's just a solid stone at the moment? No. But it's like he's giving him insight as to what he's going to become. Small point, sub point, right? So look at this here. Verse 43, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Have you noticed a kind of a common recurring couple of words? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Now look at this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, isn't that interesting that he goes from, does anything good come out of Nazareth, to, you're the Son of God. You, what was he doing under the fig tree? I don't know. But he felt like he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, right? And so, the whole point of what I want to just share from this right here is this, that John the Baptist says, hey, look over there. It's the Lamb of God. And then you have Andrew, and he goes to Peter. He says, hey, come and see. And then you have Philip to Nathanael. Hey, come and see. And it's amazing how simple of a call that was to just see who the Messiah was, isn't it? We can complicate it. And this is what I told the teenagers when I talked to them about this. I'm still a youth pastor at heart. It's really hard to break that mold. But this is what I told them was this. We can overcomplicate telling people about the Lord so much because we feel like we don't have the answer. We feel like we don't know enough. We don't feel blah, 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 whatever it is. But we see from the men that we get told later on in the Bible, turn the world upside down. And they were reaching the preachers, the 12, by saying 3 words, come and see. And so when we go out and we see the lost, and we have lost family, we have lost friends, coworkers, we have those relationships with lost people, all we need to do is tell them, hey, just come and see. Listen, the Savior is better than I can explain to you. He's changed my life. And you can tell them about the changes in your life. That's easy to tell about. And they can ask questions and you can say, look, I don't know if I can answer all your questions. And I'm going to try. But can I just tell you, just come and see. Come to Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple and come see a group of people that are excited about the Savior. Come and see. Come and see. And it's amazing because we get some insight to a couple future events here. Jesus tells Peter and he changes his name to a stone. But look at verse number 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see, look at this, amazing. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Greater than being saw under the fig tree, you're going to see some absolutely amazing things. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon of man. And it's amazing, isn't it, that when you got saved, you started to walk with the Lord, and it was like, man, I know who the Savior is. I went and I saw. And it was absolutely amazing, and I called on the Lord. But would you, and I know salvation is the greatest decision you'll ever make. But isn't it amazing that when you got saved, you had no idea what the future had for you following the Lord? But can you look back and say, man, we've seen some pretty wonderful things. I've seen some pretty amazing things that the Lord's done, all because I was willing to come and see. Come and see. And so the challenge is twofold today. If there's someone that's lost, can I challenge? I know we're in Sunday school. Can I tell you this? Come and see how good the Savior is. Come see His mercy, His grace, His love, the joy He can give, the peace that will pass all understanding. It doesn't make a bit of sense. But you just got to come and see for yourself. And then maybe for the Christian, maybe it's been a while since you've been into it. Can I say that? Maybe you're going through the motions, you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? But just come and see that He's still here and He's still good. Even though it's been a struggle, even though this summer has been busy, busy summers, right? A good, healthy church has summers that are crazy. It's because all the kids aren't in school, so they want to have them all summer long. I know. So come and see. Come and see, because He's still good. The Bible tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it's amazing that we get to walk and talk with Him and experience Him on a daily basis when you just are sensitive. Amazing, because Nathaniel did. He got to see some amazing things. Not just being called out from under the fig tree, whether he was doing good or bad, right? But Jesus told him, you're going to see heaven open. You're going to see some amazing things. And what did he do? He walked with Jesus for his public ministry, and what did he see? The blind be healed, the deaf be able to hear, the dumb be able to speak, the lame be able to walk. Nathaniel was there when the ceiling got tore open and that guy got dropped into Jesus. I mean, he got to see some amazing, amazing things. All because he was willing to go and see this guy from Nazareth. Can I challenge you? Maybe it's just been a while that you just took time and talked to the Lord and said, okay, God, who do you want me to tell? Come and see. Missionary speaking, and we tell this all the time, right? Go invite people to church and invite them to come and see the Savior. But that's what we need to do. We're going to try to live our life in such a way people go, something's different about you. Even though you got an American accent, something's different about you. And we're, you know what you're going to do? We're going to tell them, hey, you know what? Just come and see. Let me show you what's different about us. It's that simple. Come and see. Let's pray, and we'll be done with Sunday school. Father, we're grateful for all that you do. Ask that you bless the remainder of the services, the remainder of the day. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to work at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. Lord, we love you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.